Hey guys, welcome to our Lifehouse Church Chesterfield podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is a message delivered to you by Pastor Paul Hollingworth. If you want to know any more information about what we do, please visit our website at www.lifehousechurch.co.uk.
Anybody checked social media in the last 5 minutes? Like, if you were to tell the truth, anybody been checking, like, see what's... Like a few of you, see? Good. Glad to see you. Well done, Jody. Good for being honest. Check your social media, eh? Well, whatever's happening on social media and whatever's happening in the world, let's agree on something right now. Thanks be to God that God is interested in us. And so often, all our attention is on... Let's be honest. A lot of the time, our attention is on other people. I'm just being honest. Our attention can be on other people, and I thank God for the church, because it is a great reminder to us that our focus isn't on other people. Our future isn't based on other people. Our hope isn't found in other people. But our hope, our future, our purpose is found. And worship is a great reminder of it. Every time you're in a worship setting in Lifehouse Church, you will be reminded of this, that we are relentless in our pursuit of encountering Him, of giving Jesus praise and glory, because our focus is on Him and not on what everybody else is doing. Like, just to give yourself a relief today, because some of us put ourselves... Like, we go through Christmas. I was just thinking about it, sat there. We go through Christmas, the new year. And one of the things is we almost compare what has happened to ourselves over the last few weeks based on what other people have done. I'm just thankful that God has a focus on me in my situation. So me and my world at present, I just want to know what God's got to say to me in my world. And I'm going to distance my eyes from everybody else in these next few moments as we open God's word, just to say, God, would you speak to me today? Anybody else for that today, yeah? Like, not God, would you do something amazing out there? Like, I'm all for that prayer. I want to see amazing. I'm believing for rain in Australia today. Six of us are believing for rain in Australia, yeah? Like I'm believing for rain in Australia. Yeah, we want to see, like, we're believing for peace in areas. We believe there's many things, but just in this short period of time, can encourage you to say, God, today, here I am. Your attention's on me, Lord God, right now. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, as I hold your scripture within my hand. Lord God, I thank you for your word. We honor the Bible today. We honor, God, your fresh spoken word to us. We say, God, it's through this word that, Lord God, transformation takes place. God, it's through your word that healing takes place. God, it's through your word that miraculous things take place. God, it's through your word that restoration takes place. God, it's through your word that renewal takes place. God, everything that we need has already been given to us. We say thank you for Jesus. We say thank you for your word. And God, we open our hearts to you right now. If you're opening your heart right now like me and switching off your attention from everything else, just say to God in this moment, God, here I am. Come on, say it out loud. God, here I am. Wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Lord Jesus, right now in this moment, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd grab our attention. You'd pull our ears back. You'd get us to sit up straight and, Lord God, not listen to a preacher, but to listen to the divine inspired word that comes from heaven. We give you all praise and we give you all glory. Come on, we've done it once already, but let's give Jesus 2 seconds, 3 seconds of praise. He's a good God. Ever made a bad decision? Like, I was looking to you then, Dr. Michael, because I don't think you have ever. Anybody ever made a bad decision? Yeah. Wow. There's only Ian sticking his hand up there. If you listen on podcast, that's Ian Shortland putting his hand up saying, yes, I have made a bad... Everybody else was just doing a little nod at Ian. You went straight for the hand. God bless you. Ever made a bad decision, anybody? Like, I know it's not a great way. You want me to say this is going to be the best year of your life, but like... decisions and steps that we take. Ever made a bad decision was a question. As I wrote this down, I asked myself, and I was like, wow, have I made some clanger of decisions in times gone by? Decisions that have usually been based on my feelings. Hello. They're usually the worst ones. The Bible helps us with that. Never to make decisions based on feelings. But boy, have I made some decisions in my time that I've done just on feeling. One of the easiest examples, I guess, is how easy all of us can find ourselves impulse spending. I remember a good number of years ago, back in the days where an actual credit card, I would have had a credit card for spending. I don't know why, but I had this credit card and there was a wedding coming up. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I'm gonna buy myself a new suit. I went into a local shop in town that some of you'll know, begins with a Z, and you'll know that shop's reasonably expensive. And I went into that shop, and I just thought, do you know what? I'm just gonna buy a suit. And I remember going into this shop and thinking, I'm just gonna buy. I said to him, what brands have you got of suit? And he told me some Italian names I'd never heard of. I was only a young man in his 20s. But then I heard this name, and his name was the boss. It was Hugo Boss. I heard this name, Hugo Boss. And he tells me the price of this suit. And I said to him, do you know what? I said, I'm just gonna take that suit. And I remember saying to him, here we go, here's my credit card. And he swipes my credit card or did whatever he did with it and took £450 out of this credit card that 2 years later I was still paying for that very same suit. Like, come on, how many of you know that we made... I'm just being honest with you just to help you, because I know, because last night God kept me awake and he showed me a face of everybody in the crowd today and he told me the bad decisions that you've made. So you're not counting yourself out. Don't look at me smug as if to say, I cannot believe you would do such a thing, Pastor, because God told me about you and your life last night. And on the screen right now, I've got a list of people that... No, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to do that. I remember... another instance, this year, I was in Manchester and I was studying and I was staying in a hotel, and my friend, he stayed in a better hotel. His hotel had a gym. My hotel didn't have a gym. So he said, here's a pass to my gym, and if you need to go and use the gym, you go and use the gym. So I was like, brilliant, that's great. Lectures finished, and it was the first day of lectures. Lectures finished, and I was like, come on, a good start. Just like you said to Lou, this week I'm going to, every day, because I like to try and keep myself in reasonable shape, I'm going to make sure I spend time in the gym. I go to the gym. There's me, and there's an Indian man. This Indian guy is in the gym, and I looked at him. I thought, he doesn't really seem to know what he's doing, so it's time to do some serious exercise, because he was looking at me. And he was probably thinking, well, this guy knows what he's doing. I go across to where the medicine ball rack was, and I pick the medicine ball up. And if any of you know what a ball slam is, I was thinking of doing it today, but I've probably hurt the stage. And you literally lift the medicine ball up, and then you slam it down to the ground. It's meant to be a good exercise. It looks good. This Indian guy was sat there, and he was just sat at this machine. He looked like he'd got his work trousers on and a T-shirt. He looked like he'd walked in there just as a bit of a guest, a bit of a visitor. But he was sat down at this particular machine, and he was looking me direct in the face. So I'm like, confidence, breathing. Like, suck up some confidence. I'm going to carry on doing my routine. He just sat watching me. He was just looking at me. I picked this ball up. I thought, well, there it goes. It goes 10, 12, 16, 18 kilogram balls. I'm going to go. You know what I went for, don't you? You're like, go big or go home. So I went for the 18 and I picked it up and I was like, this doesn't feel like the balls that I would normally use in my own gym, but hey, I scooped this ball up. I picked it up and I put it high in the sky and I lifted it up. And then I slammed it, literally. Because you're like, if you're going to prove a point, you've got to prove a point, yeah? Like, if you're going to try and show that you're reasonably fit, like, you've got to go a hard... If you're going to run past somebody, run past them with gusto. And I got this ball, and I know some of you now are thinking, who is this big-headed guy? But I'm just telling you the truth. And I slammed this ball down. What I didn't realize, what it wasn't designed for the exercise that I thought. This ball had got bounce in it. Here we are in a high-class gym with an Indian man sat there looking at me. I think actually now actually was some sort of oracle. He was some sort of wise man that he was sat watching me. I picked this ball. I slammed it to the ground, and the ball bounced like straight up into this 18 kilogram ball, smashed me in the face. I'm like holding my mouth, and this Indian man sat there with his arms folded, just shakes his head. I can't do the laugh, but in an Indian way, he begins to laugh and he says, I wish right now, I nearly did the voice as well, I wish right now I was filming because I would put you on YouTube right now. What a bad decision. It was a decision that I made because, to be fair, I thought I knew best. And if I was able to grab your attention at the beginning, just this short period of time we've got together, 2020 isn't going to be a great year based on the dreams you have. 2020 will be a defining year in our lives as a church, as individuals, as families, as couples, as young people. Listen to me, I'm giving good wisdom here. 2020 will be a defining year based on the decisions that you make. Listen, we could make a decision right now at the beginning of 2020 that will ruin the rest of the year. In fact, some people will do that today, and it will write off. And if you've ever made a bad decision, you know what I'm talking about right now. You can have dreams and you can have desire, but poor decisions, poor steps that you take will write off the destiny that God has in store for you. I want to say to anybody today that feels that maybe they have made decisions, as I wrote this, you've made decisions that you feel like you've wrote off your destiny. The difference is this. Thanks be to God for his grace. Thanks be to God that there was only one Indian man in the gym that day. I learned a lesson. Every time now I've been to a gymnasium and picked up one of these balls, I ensure that it is the right ball. It's called learning. And God has the grace for you, whether you've made bad decisions in the past, whether you currently... The reality is there'll be people in this room that currently you are embarking on a series, a chapter of your life based on a decision that you've made in the past. You will feel like you are probably reaping the consequences of it. Every bad decision will have consequences, but in the midst of it, God also has, as Sarah encourages us today, God has grace that he can renew your strength. It can cause you to run again. He can cause you not to stumble and fall. But God has grace. If God's grace means anything to you, I think we should just say thank you to Jesus. As I'm reminded right now, I'm thinking, God, thank you for your grace. Anybody saying amen with me? Come on. You see, God's word is key in us making good decisions. This whole next few weeks, as we chat around Bible, this verse of scripture has just been with me for the last month. Keep in step. Galatians 5:25 reminds us to keep in step with the Spirit. To keep in step. I don't know who you're keeping in step with. I don't know who you're trying to keep up with or match or walk similar to, but the Bible encourages to keep in step with the Spirit. Proverbs 4:10-15. I think we've got these words for you on screen. Proverbs 4:10-15. It says this. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. You can carry on. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set on foot of the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel in it. Turn from it and go on your way. Proverbs 4 says this, verse 10, listen, says God speaking to us, listen, accept what I say, and your years will be many. I actually think we could stop the whole service, leave that verse on the screen, and we could meditate on it for 20 minutes ourselves. Because this probably is a key for the advancement of the church. It's a key for the advancing of your life. It's the key to the health of your family. It's the key for the sustaining of your business. It's the key for the health and well-being of your finances, is to listen and accept what he says, what God says. Can I say today, there's a lot to be said for going and seeking out wisdom for you and your family, your world. I was chatting to somebody yesterday. We had an honest conversation, and part of that honest conversation was vulnerability. We said some vulnerable things to each other, made some reflections as we sought out some wisdom for the steps going forward. Can I encourage you? Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Can we be a church that's not proud? Can we be a church that is vulnerable in the way that we can speak to one another with grace, with love, giving to each other? Can we be a church that embraces where we're all at in stages of life and seek wisdom together? The last thing you want for people, my heart as a pastor for you this year, is that as you face challenges, to feel that you can't say anything. Because what would people say? Listen, less of what would people say, more of what will God want to say to me right now. And through a conversation today that somebody will have in our coffee shop afterwards, I'm telling you this, it will be a decision that will propel you into 2020 and this next decade. Decisions are like steps. Decisions, I believe, that God wants us to make to strengthen and advance us. A beginning of a year, I feel like the Prime Minister right now. I'll do my button up. At the beginning of a year, I believe that God wants to speak clearly into your life. I believe that God wants to speak clearly, and I say this with some passion, into your marriage, into your business, into your relationships, into your finances, and into your health. I believe that God wants to speak clearly. God wants to guide your steps. Every time I do that, I wobble. I think I've got a bit of a balance issue going on at present. But God wants to manage, direct your steps. Like as a couple, me and Sarah, being vulnerable, we have recently, and over probably every year, but we're having constantly to make decisions that will strengthen our marriage and will better our parenting. We have to make steps. We've had to make decisions. I remember the phone calls when mortgage applications, changing the mortgage. I kind of smile every time, if you've ever had to get a mortgage, if you've never had a mortgage in your life, either one, you're too young, or two, you're very privileged. But I've always had to have a mortgage. And every time, I remember, now it's, used to be face-to-face, but now it's phone calls, everything's a phone interview. And I remember going all the way through it, and it's a long, long process. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a long process on the phone. You just like, just get to the point, can I have the money? But obviously, it's a long process. And they go all the way through it, and then they get to the nitty-gritties. So then, tell us about your outgoings. What outgoings do you have? I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. That's exactly my response. Here we go. Yes, utilities, gas, electric, water. Yes, 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 yes. Do you have a mobile? Yes. Do you? Yes. Do you do any charitable giving? Yes. How much is your charitable giving? Oh. Is this regular? I was like, yeah. How regular? Like, oh, I do this every month. And this charity is the same charity that you... I'm just being vulnerable with you. This is just vulnerability. Every month, yeah. So the company that you work for, you actually then give them this chunk of money back every month. I'm like, yeah. And then you do some other things on top. I'm like, yeah. You see, we made some decisions in our marriage to protect ourselves going forward, that giving to God was a priority. The next question the mortgage application man will say to you is this. In the light of difficult circumstances coming, would you be prepared to stop this charitable giving to make sure that you can pay your mortgage? Every time I have a little bit of fun with them, every time I say to him, no, I will not. And he says to me, well, that will jeopardize your mortgage repayments. I said, no, because if I have to stop my charitable giving, as you call it, I will have stopped several other things first. My TV, my gas and electric would be cut off. Praise the Lord, no more central heating. We'll reduce that. But it's a decision. I'm telling you that because it's a decision that we've based the health of our marriage and our family going forward, is that we've said we will not compromise on giving glory and honor to God. Church is a priority to us. Worship is a priority. Our enthusiasm, our exuberance in worship is a priority. The decisions that we've made because we want to keep in step with the Spirit. We've tried to accept everything that the Word of God is saying to us. And I'm not here today to take us into a series on this particular occasion talking about finance. But can I say this? Your finance and giving to God is connected to your health moving forward. We'll talk about that some other time. Everybody's happy that I mentioned money at the beginning of the year, aren't you? Come on. You see, the basis that me and Sarah work on is this: now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. You see, the power that is at work in you will give you the grace and the wisdom to take the steps that are required by you. God's got a path and he's got a journey for you. But the beauty of it is that the Bible says that he will give us more than we could ever ask or imagine, but it's according to the power that's at work within you. You see, God's got a next step for all of us. God wants us to keep in step with his word, but it's about his power that's at work within us. How many of you are saying thanks be to God that it's about his power and work with us? Because I know this from by now. Yesterday, Joe asked me a question. He says, are you ready for this next year? In my natural self, I don't have the energy to carry on pushing the church forward. In my natural self. But with the grace and the courage and the boldness and God's Spirit within me, I have enough, more than enough, to pursue forward. You have more than enough to keep your marriage on track this next 12 months. You have more than enough in God's grace to ensure that there's health and vitality in your own family life. You have more than enough with him. His work, his power within us. See, so I've made my resolution. My New Year's resolution is this, and you can hold me to this. My New Year's resolution for 2020, or should we make New Year's resolutions? I put it out there, I made one. My resolution for 2020 is simply this, to keep consistently making bold, daring, wisdom-filled, faithful decisions that will propel me to see what God has engraved about my life already. That's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to keep making decisions. I'm going to keep taking steps. They're going to have to be bold. They're going to have to be daring at times. They're going to be wisdom-filled. And they're going to have to be faithful that will propel me to everything that God's had in store for me. Psalm 139, verse 16. I don't know if you've ever read it. I don't know if it's on the screen or not. Psalm 139, verse 16 says this. God, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. In essence, all the steps that you want me to take, Lord God, have already been written in your book before one of them even came to be. Come on, don't tell me that's not amazing. Is that a drop the mic moment and walk off stage? Like, God, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were already written in your book. Wow. Come on. Don't tell me you can't carry on. Or in fact, no, please. Please tell me that you can't carry on, and we'll have a conversation to say you can carry on. You can make this. You can do this. See, it's true that God will give you the desires of your heart. I don't know if anybody's got any desires in the heart. Anybody got any desires, dreams in the heart? Still? Come on, we're not dream dry, are we, in this church? Anybody got any dreams, desires in the heart? You're like, it's stuffy. You're saying, I still believe in, I still want to see this. God, I'm believing that you will. Psalm 37, verse 4 says this, and this is why we should never read little bits of scripture that we like. Because this is what it says. This is the bit everybody likes. This is the like bit. Put this on Instagram today, everybody will like it. They'll be like, brilliant, I love it. I love to hear about, you know, dreams, and God's going to give me the desires of my heart. He's going to give me that beautiful blonde lady. Oh, well, he did. He did that already. But it says this. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you... Anybody? Come on. No, there's only me that feels like a little bit... feel like doing a little dance at this verse. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give me the desires of my heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's preach that for 6 weeks, shall we? About all the desires of our hearts. But in context, then, but he does remind us this. Psalm 37, verse 5. Oh, Jesus, does it have to be another verse? It says this, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Commit your steps to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. Not my will, Jesus says to his Father, but your will, Jesus says to his Father. Paul Hollingworth, this year, as lead pastor of the church, as a father, as a husband, as a son, as a friend, hopefully to some people, like, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. You see, our decisions, this is what I've arrived at with 10 minutes left. Our decisions will either take us away from God's purposes or towards them. Oh, can we not just preach about the desires of our heart? You see, our decisions that we're going to make today are either going to take you on a step towards your destiny that God has for you, or actually some of the decisions we're actually making are going to take us away. I'm honest enough to say I've made some decisions in the past that have taken me away. Because it happens, yeah? This is a Christian church. In fact, I'll go a step further. This is a Christian church. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a real man, took on full humanity over 2,000 years ago, and he came as God's Savior to the earth. He came to die for our sins. He came, he was punished, he was beaten, he was stripped, he was put naked on a cross, and he was put before men and women all through the nation at that time. And till this day now, people still know that Jesus Christ bled and died on a cross. He died for our sins. He died to forgive us. He died that we wouldn't have to take the punishment that God has in store for us for those bad decisions. And right in the middle of it, God puts down the cross, and it was grace to us. I believe that as Jesus died, he then rose again, and he ascended to heaven 3 days later. Jesus promised that he would leave one greater that would assist us through every trial, every temptation, through every decision that we'd ever need. He left us the Holy Spirit. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is a Christian church that believes in God, the creator of all heaven and earth. It believes in Jesus Christ, that he was born, he died, and he rose again. And I believe that the Spirit of the living God is in this place today. I'm not expecting any preacher to ever stand on this stage and change your life. I believe simply this, that the Holy Spirit, we invite every week to be a part of everything that we do, that the Holy Spirit is at work right now, will prod and provoke you to say to you this, come on, Paul, make a decision that's going to take you a step closer rather than that tempting decision to take a step away. This is what Galatians 5, if you've got your Bible, turn with me real quick because you're going to need to meditate and have a look over this for the next few weeks. This is what Galatians 5 verse 13 says. Anybody ready for a little bit of prodding and provoking right now, yeah? Anybody ready for a bit of prodding and provoking? Good. I'm glad you are because this is what the Bible does to us. Verse 13 says this, the Apostle Paul speaking, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Everybody say that word for me, free. It's good to know that we've been called to be free. "But do not use this freedom to indulge the flesh, or otherwise known as the sinful nature in each and every one of us." I love this because every single one of us are included. We have a sinful nature. Just smiled. "Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Wow, there's a good tip for the year. "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself." Or modern translation, buy someone a coffee afterwards in the cafe. "If you bite and devour each other, watch out because you will be destroyed by each other. So I say this, walk by the Spirit." Interesting. "Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Gratify meaning to satisfy. So walk by the Spirit and you will not satisfy the desires that are within this body. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit," opposite, "and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that they are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of flesh, with a smile, are obvious." Deep breath. "Sexual immorality." We should talk about it in church. One of the interesting things I find about this, these are usually the things that we don't talk about in church. But these are the things that we're fighting against and that within all of us. Guys, we should talk about these things, like we should, because I think they affect all of us. And ladies, you should as well. Just don't ask me to talk to you about them all. That'd be too long. Gosh, we'd need a lot of coffee to talk to some of you ladies. Their acts of the flesh are obvious. I'm only joking, like, don't get het up. Oh, the pastor said that women talk a lot. I could tell when I said it. I could, like, there was this wave of, like, what has he just said? Like, I'm free. Do you know what I mean? He said so. It's good to laugh. "Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, I'm just pausing at appropriate moments because I've seen you all driving as well. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunken, gosh, well, like, can you carry on? He lists everything on this list here. Like, it's just envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the steps that God wants us to take are the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In essence, we have the victory over these things through Jesus. Hello. You're battling today. You're battling against one of those things. It's not a case of condemnation from the Bible. The battle is to give your life to Jesus, to accept what he says, and in that you will find victory over any of this stuff. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. You will find victory. I'm telling you right now, I've said it twice, you'll find victory based on the fact that Jesus has already conquered all this for you. You're not expected to defeat these big giants that are listed here. Jesus has defeated the big giants. And he says that in him, you know, immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. Seems like it's all about like just visionary things for the future. But some people, it's very hard to imagine that you will ever get out of the trap of the rut that you're actually in. And Jesus can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Because some of you have said, I'm trapped and I'm done. But listen, there is victory in the name of Jesus. Then it says this, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, because that is a choice. It's a choice to say, I'm going to live by you, Jesus, by your word. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So much to say. So much to say. I'm just going to finish. I'm finishing like literally now. We're going to close and we're going to worship just together for a few moments. We're going to pray in just a moment. One of the things about, I don't know about technology now, is I don't know whether any of you actually have an iPhone. Technology is crazy now. Because like literally I get into my car and I'll plug my phone into the USB, use it to get a little bit of charge or to make calls, etc. And my phone will come up and it will tell me where it's expecting me to go. Anybody else, does this happen to you? It's not just like the Holy Spirit speaking to me all the time, is it? Doesn't happen on any of your phones now, that would be weird. Mine is certainly, yeah, I'll not tell you the three top places that it tells me to go. You might be able to guess. And every time I plug it in, it tells me where to go. Do you know what? Every time, I've not done it once yet. I've never clicked once onto it, like to take me home, like to take me to wherever it's saying. I ignore it every time. And I was toying around with this last night. I just sat alone. And as I do, I have a relationship with God that's very unique to me. And I was just chatting to God about this whole idea. And how best to put it across. And I just felt God was like, well, you know how it works. I speak to you. And quite often, you can be found to ignoring what I'm saying. And you do your own thing. I'm your pastor. And I'm, as people keep reminding me, I'm the shepherd. I'm the leader. I've got the same battles going on in my world. But listen, the Holy Spirit is very, very real. And I guarantee you this now. I guarantee you this now because I know he's at work. That he will pinpoint things in your life right now. It happens there. It's like a little finger in the rib. And very often, I am guilty of it because sometimes I feel like I haven't got the courage for it. Text me, I think I said, about the carol service. How amazing was the carol service? I don't mean how amazing was the service. I'm more how amazing that God, what he did. There's over 700 people gathered in the winding wheel. Through a couple hundred people that just said, God, we trust you and we'll go on mission with you, Lord God, and let's see what you can do. And God's always promised that he will fill auditoriums. He you've got to have the faith to fill an auditorium. Do you know what you have to do? You have to take some steps. You have to ring the auditorium, visit the auditorium. You have to stand in the auditorium where there's nobody in the auditorium and think, what will this look like if only 150 people turn up into this large auditorium? You have to say to yourself, but how can we afford to, can we budget to pay this? What if the offering isn't great? And you take steps, but God all the time is like, come on, come on, see what I can do. Like trust me with your marriage. Come on, come on, come on. Trust me with your finance. Take a step. Trust me with serving. And the Holy Spirit comes to prod and provoke and gives us little reminders. And it's so easy just to... We went into the winding wheel a year after God had actually asked us to do it. That's the truth. Because 2 years ago, I was still on stage. I said, this time next year, we will not be doing a carol service here. I don't know if anybody remembers me saying that. I remember, because the Holy Spirit reminded me. You said it, brother, and you didn't do it. So this last year gone, we had to respond to it. And we saw what God did. Listen, when we ignore, and I'm speaking to some of you guys over here, yeah? Trust me. When you ignore the niggle that you feel about a decision that you're about to make, because the enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yeah? I know you're dotted all over, but he wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the Holy Spirit, he comes to equip you, and he will prod you, and he'll say to you, get out of this room now. He'll say to you, don't take that invitation. He'll say to you, come and serve here. He'll say to you, he'll lead you and guide you. That's what the Holy Spirit's work is. And this is what it says in Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. Be mega helpful. You just flick this on quick. I know I'm 2 or 3 minutes over now, but this is what the Lord was saying to Israel, to the people at the time. This is what the Lord says: you're redeeming the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Read it. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. I read that last night. I said, Lord God, I don't want my peace to have been what would have been like a river. God, I want your peace now. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been bullseye. Screen goes back. Look at what you could have won. It's true. What God has immeasurably more in store for you in 2020 if only you will listen to his leading. If you've got a phone, this is my prayer for us right now. I'm asking now, if you've got a phone or a writing device, a pad or a pen, something, like I'm going to try to provoke even the most traditional person in here. Like, because sometimes we need to make an action, a movement. And I'm simply going to do something that I want you to do this. I really do. Because we can say, let's pray right now. And you know me, I'll ask you to lift your hands to heaven and we can feel like, well, we're just shutting the service down. But out of everything I said, there's 3 questions that I just want to leave you with that I want you to either take note of or quickly write the answer down, because some of you will know there is something buzzing. It's called the response to this. And you don't need to come to the front and tell everybody. Just, if you can, make a note. Do something practical. Say, well, all right, I'm going to put my phone on record so I can hear you. And I'll listen to those questions later on when I'm in the car or on my own. Because if 2020 and this next decade is going to be immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine, then we need to take the steps that God's asking us to do. But if we simply stand in position and say, well, Lord Jesus, come down and hit me with a thunderbolt now, I want to tell you this is not going to happen, because Jesus has already given us everything that we need for life and for godliness, and he's saying, step into it, step into it, step into it. These are the questions. Number one, A step is a movement. So where in my life right now requires movement from a place of stagnancy? I know this feels like school, but actually I think we're disciples together, we're learning. Where in my life currently requires movement? In other words, where am I stagnant? And I've said this will never change. This is the way I am. This is who I am. This is always going to be que sera, sera. Secondly, a step away. And this, you've got to be brutal with this for 2020. You've got to be brutal. What do I need to step away from that is taking me away from God's best for my life? What do I need to step away from that is taking me away from God's best for my life? What do I need to step away from? Out of these three questions, I answered that one straight away. There it was. That was an easy one. And the third question is simply this. A step towards. What does God want me to take a step in that will bring glory to Him this year? God, as we write those questions down, as we go away to meditate with You purposefully, I know that You asked me to ask those questions so people would speak with You. Lord Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in this room right now, I pray You would be at work in people's lives. I pray You would prod and provoke and cause this, Lord God, to be the most defining 2020 we could have ever asked or imagined, because we're prepared to walk in step with Your Spirit. Lord Jesus, I give You praise right now for the work that's going on in the room. I thank You for transformation in the room right now, for renewal, for strategy, for dreams, for new thinking, Lord God, for revitalization. Lord Jesus, I thank You right now, Lord God, for all that You're doing. And we give all praise and all glory to the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, why don't we stand together? Stand together and give God some praise as we close our service together. We're going to sing, and we're going to praise Him by singing Glorious Day. We're going to sing about the glorious day, which involves us just giving some praise to Jesus. Come on, let's make an intentional decision right now to give Him the praise and the glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found this message helpful, insightful, and encouraging. For any more news about what's coming up at Lifehouse Church, you can obviously find that on our website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk. You will even find on there our social media pages. So please just check us out. Thanks again.